This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, Earl. How are you?
All right, man. So the weather, Calvin.
Yeah, we got a little dust in today and it's pretty cold, but I heard that it's going to be 40 by Friday.
For one day.
What?
It'll be 42 just on Friday. Then it drops back down to 30 and then back to 9 below zero on Monday.
What do you know?
One day.
Winter. This is cold winter, guys.
Yeah. 42 degrees on one day. And, you know, here, we're in Racine. Oh, by the way, that's the guy you're hearing talking is my co-host Sandy Williams. By now, you ought to know him. Good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. And yeah, there's snow down. It's interesting. Wisconsin has a varied climate. You can just travel 10 miles and suddenly you're someplace else. So
there's probably
5 or 6 inches of snow on the ground here and nothing up in
there. Right.
Yeah.
Well, because when this snow fell a week or so ago and 5 or 6 inches.
Yeah, now it stayed cold.
Yeah, it stayed cold. And so it's actually ice. And it's probably going to be here for a long time to come, right?
Yeah, like I said, I've got the skating rink I watch, and it's going to be around for... This is a winter like we used to have. I noticed around where I live, there's some public skating rinks that have been flooded. Kids are skating on them. It's sort of... A return to a back to the future kind of thing.
Well, except for snow. We're like 10, 12 inches below snow.
Averages?
Yes.
Yeah.
But that can change in one, you know.
Yeah, well, the weather has obviously become weird. And, you know, we can all be happy. We worry about a little ice on the road, which is not, you know, can be very treacherous, but... What's happened in California is like unbelievable. So
we're gonna get into all of that, Sandy, and many other things. But we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the Packers a moment.
Yeah.
Were you disappointed?
I was disappointed. I think Jordan Love's got to learn how to not throw into double and triple coverage and go for the long ball all the time. I mean, you know, it looked to me like that was a game we could have won, just like the one in Brazil. You know, they aren't out of our league by a long shot. You know, they didn't score many points on offense. Most of the stuff we sort of gave them, there were four turnovers. I mean, we laid an egg, you know, in a way. We didn't lay an egg as a team. The defense played great. The offense just was in a slog. You know, we played better than the Vikings did last night.
You know what's so strange? Everybody was talking about how deep early on in the season the Packers' receiving core was.
Yeah.
It's the deepest receiving core in football. We've got at the end of the game, they could barely find a receiver.
Yeah.
Football is...
Well, football has become quite brutal, no question about it. And this concussion thing, I mean, Romeo Doubs... That's this concussion.
His career is probably over.
Well, I mean, this wasn't even the kind of collision. This didn't look like something that should result in such a terrifying concussion. But after you've had one or two of them, I think you become a little bit more prone, much the way Tua Aguilera.
You know what I never understood is while he was on the ground, he was on the ground for an extended period of time. It was frightening.
Yeah.
And they walked him all the way out, holding him, and he could barely stand. Where was the cart?
Yeah.
I don't know, he had to come all the way from the end zone. Say, I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, he was walking very gingerly.
I know. With two guys holding. Yeah. And you could tell that he was in duress, right?
Yeah, who knows? I don't know what the medical judgments are, but yeah, I was surprised they didn't cart him off instead of they almost were walking him like his feet weren't touching the ground. It was sort of
my mind started, man, why are they, but anyway.
Yeah.
And the Vikings last night, you know, I like the Vikings. You know,
if the Lions lose, this vaunted North Division could be without anyone in the final. You know, it's been expected that they would do so well. But I think they're going to have trouble with the Commanders. Don't they play the Commanders?
Yeah. Well, listen, the Lions, they're the real deal, Sandy.
Yeah?
They're the real deal. Well, I don't see them folding like the Packers and the Vikings did. Even with all of the injuries they have, that coach has them. I had a conversation with Gilbert Brown recently about the Lions, and I kept saying, well, man, their starting whole defense is gone. He said, it's that guy, the coach.
Yeah.
And I said, well, you mean to tell me that the coach can coach up lesser players? He said, yeah. He said, if he can motivate, it's about motivating guys. He said, we say lesser players, but those guys are being paid to play pro football. They're actually all great athletes. And they're not that much less of an athlete than the guy before them. They were the best in not only in their schools, but in the divisions, right?
Yeah. No, I think that's true. I mean, I think people step up. You know, we've obviously, the Packers keep uncovering people that are great that were no names. So, you know, I don't think there is that much difference in quality. And Campbell,
speed,
obviously,
maybe.
Campbell obviously is a really good coach. And of course, Gilbert is from Detroit, so
he's
probably always grew up as a Detroit Lion fan.
He's not a Detroit Lion fan.
Well, I bet secretly there's some part of that Detroit kid.
Well, probably now because the Packers are gone.
Yeah.
I would say this. You kind of knew. You could hope and wish upon a star. But for the Packers to beat Philadelphia in Philadelphia, kind of a tall task, especially the way they were playing.
But,
right?
To be honest with you, I do join the group who say that the reffing, you know, that initial fumble was targeting. I mean, the reason he fumbled it was helmet to helmet.
Sandy, you're a homer.
And then he actually recovered it. I was very—
Sandy, you're a homer.
I'm probably a homer.
I never knew you to be a homer, but
yeah.
But they lost the game to a better team, and the Packers just, as you stated, you can't throw. What did he throw? Three interceptions.
Three interceptions.
Last night, the last one
probably didn't count. But then again, that's the same finish we had last year in the. In fact, it was the same finish. You know, he threw an interception to finish the game last year in the playoffs as well.
Last night, the Viking quarterback threw four interceptions, was sacked 9 times.
Sam. Yeah, that's because he counted up to 9 or 10, 10 1,000 before he.
I was listening to, what was the guy's name? He used to be a star quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys.
Troy Aikman.
And he was condemning them for holding the ball. He wasn't getting any times.
Yeah, I enjoy. Actually, I watch Peyton Manning and his brother cover the show on the other station.
Really?
Yeah, they have. It's a great time listening to
them.
Yeah,
well, they're funny.
Yeah.
Those guys are comedians, We've got a lot to talk about. We're going to cover a lot of different issues, but I want to go just a little bit further, Sandy. With football, because we don't talk about it much. So who do you think is,
Being Super Bowl bound?
Yeah.
Well, I suspect, if you looked at numbers and everything, I suspect it would be the Chiefs versus the Lions. But, we'll see about the Chiefs.
I don't think the Chiefs are going to make it.
They're going to have trouble getting through. I just don't know who who's going to beat them?
Either the Super Bowl game is this Saturday. It's the Buffalo Bills and the Ravens.
Yeah, that's true. Either one of those two teams, yeah.
Yeah, I think they're more than Kansas City can handle. And that'll be a great – I'm going to make sure that I have tea and crumpets ready for me so I don't have to get up and move. I don't normally do that for a football game, but this is going to be a great game.
Yeah. Well, those two quarterbacks are fantastic.
Yeah. Defenses, the whole teams, they're complete. In Kansas City, you know, they've been gutted. You can't keep the great teams together. Back in the day when the Packers were able to do the things that they did with Vince Lombardi, guys weren't free agents much.
Well, there weren't free agents.
Oh, that's right. There wasn't free agents.
Yeah, those, you were bound to the team you played for, and as a result, you didn't earn much money either. But, there wasn't free agency until about, I don't know what, the 70s.
And so the team stayed together. And so you knew what you had coming back every year. It's not like now. If you pay a quarterback. So Jordan Love makes $55 million a year. He's only started 2 years, and he's making $55 million a year, Sandy.
Mm-hmm. I've been actually practicing in the backyard. I throw the ball through a tire. I do it every morning, every afternoon. I'm thinking maybe, you know, I'm a little bit old.
But if you look at that, that's what's wrong with what's happening now. To be honest with you, Jordan Love really hasn't shown that he's worth $55 million a year.
Well, I think you're watching the NFL morph, though. It's morphing in the direction back to running back for a while.
It will now.
Yeah, so every team to have a good, for the quarterback to shine, it's apparent that you have to have a good running game. And look what Derrick Henry's doing for Lamar. I mean, so I think as money migrates toward running back and as running back becomes a significant, you won't have to be as good a quarterback. You don't have to be throwing dimes all the time if the defense has to play the run.
So, Sandy, you and I are going to cover a lot of different subjects this morning, as always. 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
I don't know what it's like to be you, and I don't know what you have to go through, but I can try to see the world through your eyes, put myself in your shoes. And empathize.
Empathize?
Empathy, not entropy.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. Text us that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday is my co-host, Sandy Williams, and Sandy the Music.
Well, the music today is about empathy, the concept of putting yourself in other people's shoes, and I found a song that was actually about empathy. It was triggered in my mind by a TED Talk I listened to in which they were talking about the difference between cynics and people who trust others. Cynics are people who kind of impute the worst motives to the other people that they deal with or to other people, and other people might have trust be their predominant view of other people. And the notion was that cynics are viewed by the public generally as shrewder, smarter, and people who are trustworthy are viewed as maybe gullible and fools. But when they went out and did testing on competence and capability, they found out that people who trust were actually more capable and more competent than people who were cynics. That being a cynic is a self-fulfilling prophecy. Imputing to the other side, the other people, bad motives is a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you clearly trust someone and entrust them, they're more likely to be trustworthy than if you treat them cynically. And so one of the exercises in this TED Talk was the notion of empathizing, asking people to make the case for the other person. And, you know, in debate, we have a caller, CJ, calls in frequently, says he wants to debate anytime, any place. People who debate actually don't know what side of the argument they're going to be debating until the beginning of the competition, when they're told, okay, you're going to be arguing pro, and your opponent is going to be arguing con. You have to know and understand both sides of the argument in order to be a debater, and you have to be able to do either one compellingly well. And so, you know, today my hope is that we can start the process of people with empathy, trying to put themselves in the shoes of other people. And I think we should, personally, I'm going to ask callers when they call in to try and first describe why it is that the people they disagree with have the opinions they have. I want them to make the case for that other person and try to be the person who can understand why other people have the views they do. Because in business, if you want to make a deal, you have to understand what the other people want and why so you can make a middle ground.
Sandy, I have to. I'm really trying to understand the me trying to understand why somebody else thinks the way they do. And so by doing that,
you don't have to believe that what they think is right. You simply have to try to understand what it is they think. In order to bridge the troubled water between you, the space between you can only be bridged by trying to understand what it is the other person is thinking and why.
So let me ask you, is there an absolute right and wrong in things and in society?
Sure.
So if somebody on the other side is...
Okay, let's start with something right now.
Let me finish my point. So if somebody on the other side... Mm-hmm. Is clearly supporting something that is not level, that is wrong. I'm supposed to try to understand why they feel that way?
Here's an exercise. And this is going to be a hard one for us to discuss, possibly. Let's say that I'm a racist, okay? I just have it in me that I think there's something wrong with black people, with African Americans.
That people feel that way. Okay. It's true.
But maybe the question is why, okay? Maybe it's because I've never met one. Maybe it's because I don't have any knowledge to base this on. It's simply a primal fear I've got. Maybe it's because my parents were racist and they told me that this was the way I ought to think. So if that's why, then maybe, you know, maybe I've never met one and spent any time with one. Well, maybe the solution to that is, okay, you know, let's bridge that gap. I'm just saying that understanding what the issues are underlying a position, even if that position is totally wrong. I mean, unless it's sociopathic, psychotic, something that has no reason. But if there's situations in which you have a disagreement and a different view of things, then understanding why is an important concept.
So here's what I would say, especially in a situation like the one you just said, being a person of color, uh-huh, and knowing that there are people who feel like you just said, I'm supposed to understand why they feel that way, and I'm the person who's suffering from this, from what somebody else has in their mind, and I'm supposed to...
Well, it's a two-way street. I'm the racist. I should be projecting myself. I should be projecting... to you as well. I should be trying to understand what it feels like to be the victim of racism, what it feels like to be black. I mean, empathy is a two-way street.
If if we were able to get people to honestly have that kind of dialogue, it could change things.
It could change things.
Right, but to get people to honestly do that is where you know.
Well, this TED Talk was trying to, I think, get there by persuading people that actually it's more intelligent to be a skeptic, meaning that you can trust other people, but trust but verify. You know, it's what people talk about, Ronald Reagan talking about. To be a skeptic, it's better to be a skeptic than a cynic. A cynic is someone who imputes to other people bad things. A skeptic is one whose mind is open, okay, to whether that person is good or bad, depending on what it is, how it is they act, and the evidence that they receive. And so I think if we all would become no worse than skeptics, okay, and to be open to talk and dialogue to understand, we could get somewhere. We could actually get this bridge over troubled water.
So we'll give it a try. I just think that it's hard to find people who would be willing to be that open. You know, that's part of the problem.
Well, I think an awful lot of people who call into the show like the notion of debate. I think we ought to learn how to debate both sides so that we can get to the middle.
855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
There are so many parts that I have hidden and denied and lost. There are so many ways that I have cut off my nose. There are so many colors that I still try to hide while I paint. And there are so many tunes that I secretly sing as I wait. Come along.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. You can text us that same number. Send you the music.
Well, today's music is about empathy, trying to put yourself in the other people's shoes, trying to bridge, find the bridge over troubled waters and to try to avoid cynicism and at least adopt skepticism. You know, have your eyes open and be willing to find evidence and find the evidence that supports possibly a good outcome.
All right, let's go to Mary from Tulsa. Good morning to you, Mary. Thank you very much for the call. Your thoughts?
Yeah, good morning, Earl and Sandy, and thanks for this discussion. Interestingly, I came across something on the web just recently about the different types of empathy, and the one that got my interest was cognitive empathy, was the terminology, meaning ascertaining the emotions of another intellectually. It's an attempt to understand how their circumstances influence their lives. And the national organization Braver Angels, I think, attempts to accomplish in bridging rational communications between liberals and conservatives. And I would hope that Earl will consider having a Braver Angels guest on someday to just let us know what they're about and try to attract more attention and participants in this. Thanks for the discussion.
Hey, Mary, I will reach out to the Braver Angels. Thank you. Let's go to Tom from LA.
Good morning, Earl. Good morning, Sandy. Sandy, I'm very, very interested in your topic, just to let you know. And I would like to, you know, number one, I'm in sales. I've been in sales my whole life. And my whole purpose is I run into lots of people, you know, that are on the other side of the aisle. And I can empathize with them. The thing that I find is that when I go to a person's house, as an example, because I've done door-to-door sales as well, I can tell you right away when they are adamant about having Fox and they're adamant about having a certain media diet, whether it's OAN or what was the other one called? I can't remember. But they have that political persuasion. I honestly feel sorry for these people that get this media diet. And I'm not saying that as a way to talk down to people. I'm just saying that myself, as a gay man from Wisconsin, who has run his own company, glpages.com, a little plug, one thing I say in the front of my book, or when I had a book, was do not fear the LGBTQ, you know, and I guess transgender now for you know, big purposes, plus people. Get to know someone. Don't fear us. Find out what we're about. Then maybe, you know, it's fear. There's only two emotions in the world, in my opinion. It's fear and it's love. And the thing is, people that are really hatred or filled with hate are really afraid. That's what they are. And I'd just like to say to those people, don't be afraid.
So Tom, based on the conversation Sandy is talking about, are you in a position to understand why they feel the way they feel?
100%. I mean, I grew up in the Midwest. I've been in California now for 25 years. I have seen every single type of human being, and I try to take every human being as an individual. I don't try to stereotype. I don't try to do what the media tells me. I tried to take that individual person as an individual. I'm sure that if I was around Gary, or I was even around CJ, I probably would get along with them great on a day-to-day basis.
So I think what you're saying is empathy is the name of the game. I mean, trying to project and understand what is going on in other people's brain and can create the possibility of getting a knowledge to cross the river of enmity, and because you're right, I think it's fear and uncertainty and a lack of knowledge that is the wedge that is between people, and you have to bridge that. You said you were in sales. Anybody who's good at sales understands that it's empathizing, it's understanding what that person you're standing in front of wants and needs that makes the sale. And so it's part of a lot of people's lives. I just think we don't make it a part of our life in as much as we should.
100%. And what I would say also, Sandy, is that, you know, when you have, I'll give you an example. I dated a guy that was a Puerto Rican from South Bronx years ago. And every role he went in on for acting was for a gangbanger, was for a drug dealer, whatever it might be. Well, people in the Midwest that don't have experiences with other people, and that's all they see is, you know, these guys coming to the border in their caravans, and they see on TV, black guys, oh, all they're going to do is shoot you up, drug deals, this and that. That becomes their experience. And because that becomes their experience, they are afraid of that. So instead of being afraid of that, they get together in their cluster of other quote-unquote white people, and then they form a clique. And that clique now is going to go and attack minority groups because it makes them feel less afraid.
All right, Tom, thank you very much for the call.
Well, I mean, I think in using the examples unlike ones I might have used, but obviously what Tom is saying is what we're talking about, which is that in order to bridge the gap between people, they have to have their minds open to being just skeptical about the other person and not cynical, not having a hate barrier, not imputing to others bad motives, but to try to understand what it is and why. And there just isn't enough of that, okay? And if there was more of it, and I would just try to admonish those who call in today to let's see if we can't have a day where we exercise empathy in our discussion.
Let me ask you, we just had a presidential election, and unfortunately, many of those who were on the other side of the coin who supported Trump had no problems pointing fingers at people on the other side and saying all sorts of egregious things about those people. It's hard to then feel empathy towards people who are attacking you.
Empathy is not sympathy. Empathy is not forgiveness. Empathy is just trying to understand why. So, you know, like in a business transaction, you might not like the person sitting on the other side of the table at all. But you might at least try to understand what it is they want and why, to see if there's a middle of the road that can reach an agreement with them. And once you understand the other side's what they want and why, you actually soften your view of them because you begin to understand what it is that makes them tick. And so, the people today, we have this divide in the country. But it's not true that half of our country is people that have bad intent and half of the people in this country have good intent. That can't be the case. So the intent of everybody must, you might just take the position that everybody's intent from their perspective is good. Okay. It's good from their perspective. They've justified it in their mind as to why they think it's good. They might think it's good because they're so afraid of something that they want to make sure that they and their family are not endangered by that thing, and that thing might end up turning into a concept of that is racism.
So,
okay?
Sandy, I mean,
their intent is not in their mind bad, and then the question is, can we resolve the issue here by reaching more understanding?
I have to say to you that the outcome of that way of thinking, again, based on historical facts and what even Dr. King fought for, and is the fact that it's hard for a person who has done nothing to another person, and yet they're looked at as something completely different. I'm afraid of this person. Based on what? I haven't done anything for you to be afraid of me.
Well, let's put it.
And yet I'm the person who's being impacted and affected by this, and I'm supposed to understand why you feel the way you feel?
Well, yeah, you can understand it. You don't have to like it. You don't have to forgive them. But let's face it, profiling is based on ignorance. Profiling is based on a limited experience. Profile is based on not knowing enough to and making generalizations that are not necessarily founded in fact whatsoever. Racism is the ultimate profiling process. And so, yes, you don't have to like it. But if you understand that it's based on a lack of knowledge and a lack of experience, then maybe it's possible, maybe not probable, but it might be possible to bridge that with experience.
I would say, Sandy, that it's a harder thing for a person who's been discriminated against to understand why he's being discriminated against, because the impact of that discrimination has impacted the life of that person.
Absolutely.
And so it's harder for a person to feel that empathy.
Well, wait, empathy, like I said, though, empathy, If we use this correctly, you're just trying to understand why. You do understand why about profiling. You do understand that it's based on a lack of experience and a lack of knowledge, right? I mean, you would agree with that, wouldn't you?
Well, yeah, but that has been hurtful.
Absolutely.
And damaging to the lives of the people that we're talking about who've had to suffer through that. And so, again, with some of the things that have occurred historically— behind it, it's a little harder, okay, to say a person who's kind of, you know, discriminated against me,
yeah,
that I should meet. And that's what Dr. King talked about. You're supposed to meet that force with love. That's what Dr. King's whole message was about.
Well, I'm not that much of a saint here in this discussion. I'm simply saying you need to meet it with an attempt to intellectually understand why, which might break down then into trying to understand what it is, the wound that person has experienced that has caused them to be so far off base with their view.
But so wouldn't that person who feels that way, and exhibits that, mm-hmm. and the damage that they're doing to the person, they want me to feel their feel.
Well, like I said,
and understand them.
It's a two-way street. I mean, I'm not asking the victims to be the saints here. I'm simply suggesting that as a society, if we started building empathy into our educational process, into our cultural processes, then everybody would have to put themselves in the other person's shoes. It would be very hard to be a racist if you actually projected yourself into the shoes of the people that you are victimizing with your racism.
So intellectually, it's a great conversation, but to make people actually have this conversation, mm-hmm. is something that will take work.
It's wishful thinking. That's what you're saying.
855-752-4842 is the number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday with my co-host Sandy Williams and you. And it's a good conversation.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Some people stay far away from the door if there's a chance of it opening up. They hear a voice in the hall outside and hope that it just passes by. Some people live with the fear of a touch and the anger of having been a fool.
Is that Billy Joe?
Yep.
They will not listen to anyone, so no.
An innocent man?
Yep. This is all about the skeptic. This is the cynic.
Yeah,
people protecting themselves. That's what Tom was talking about.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingham Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. It's Tuesdays. That means Tuesdays is my co-host Sandy Williams. And Sandy, we're talking about...
Well, we're talking about empathy, and that isn't sympathy. It isn't entropy like that song earlier. It's just the ability to try and put yourself in someone else's shoes, understand why they're saying what they're saying, thinking what they're thinking, being a skeptic and not a cynic, looking for evidence, having an open mind.
All right, let's go to Brendan from New Jersey. Good morning to Brendan. You say what?
Yeah, I'm kind of struggling with this topic when I look and I see what's going on with LA and how the GOP and the MAGA party has decided to make this another wedge issue, another division issue, make it about DEI. And, you know, Sandy made some good points, but as he was saying them, I'm thinking about all the hurdles we have to get over through a person's psyche, be it religious, be it taught hatred for others over the long period of time through being in a household, hearing what's said, and then repeating what's said, and then believing, well, my parents believe it, it must be true. And then looking at the overall, being 65 and looking at the overall picture of what's going on and thinking about all the men and women who've lost their lives fighting for democracy and everything else, I just find it so hard myself to look at somebody who can have a MAGA cap on, wear it around a store, and think that for some reason I should have the culpability mechanisms to get through the brick wall that is somewhere in their brain that is making them think what's going on right now is okay.
Well, that's a great response, yeah, Brendan.
I don't disagree with you in terms of it being a difficult process. And the problem is that they would need to participate in this whole process of empathy and be as much into it as anybody else would be to get to the middle or to get to the bottom of it. I think that trying to exorcise cynicism from our population is a very worthy project, but not one that'll actually happen. But I did think that it was very interesting to find out that in the world, people who are skeptical rather than cynical are more successful. And are more successful in everything they do in their personal relationships and in their occupations than people who are cynical, because cynicism ends up being a self-fulfilling prophecy. And I think that much of MAGA Republicanism is built on cynicism. It's built on imputing to others bad motives, and I think we've got to work our way through that. And I think we have to avoid as well, however, believing that those who are wearing the MAGA cap have bad motives. I think they are misguided, okay? And I think then you have to figure out what it is that's misguiding them and what can we do about it.
Let me ask, thank you very much for calling, Brendan. Let me ask you, Sandy, the bad guys in our community, guys who, you know, want to stick a gun in your face and rob you, am I supposed to try to understand why they are doing what they are doing or feeling the way they are feeling?
Well, we're involved with Voice of the Elders.
Right? Yeah.
And Voice of the Elders that you've started is designed to try to understand what it is that's stimulating 10, 11, 12, 13, 14-year-old boys to make bad decisions about stealing cars, carrying guns, doing the things that will turn them into bad guys, okay? Making bad choices is the way you get to be a bad guy. And presumably that means you have choices to make. Now, what we find out in this process is that these people live in an environment where it's much harder for them to make good choices, that they have more choices that they have available to them to make that could be bad. They don't have as much knowledge about what good choices could do for them. You know, there's a bunch of information there. So that if you enter the concept of analyzing young bad guys by deciding they're bad guys, instead of trying to understand why they have made the choices that make them bad guys, you can't get to a solution, okay? And I think that's what caused you to start Voice of the Elders, because you have some empathy and understanding about why it is that young boys might become bad guys.
Susan, hang on. 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And in addition to this, we're going to talk about some other things. You know, why we should get rid of the debt limit, you know, and some other things on the Earl Ingram Show.
I'm not above going back to the start to find out where the heartache began. Some people hope for a miracle cure. Some people just accept the world as it is. I'm not willing to lay down and die because I am an innocent man. I am an innocent man.
The national news cycle never stops. but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.